Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the 16th chapter of John's Gospel, beginning at verse 12. Jesus has been speaking to his disciples, preparing them for his departure. And he said this, "I have much more to say to you, more now than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. So we're celebrating the Trinity this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons in one God. Just another one of those crazy doctrines of the church that will drive you crazy if you try to nail it down too carefully. But we know it's true. If you study your scripture lessons, your Bible at all, you see the face of the Father. You see the face of the Son, Jesus. And you are touched by the Holy Spirit. So what is Jesus telling his disciples in today's lesson? He's telling them to watch their emails for notifications about continuing education. Right? Continuing education. That's what he's talking about, really. Public school teachers are required to attend classes to maintain their teaching certificates, right? Lawyers, got a few of those around here, don't we? They have to go and maintain their certification and qualification as lawyers by studying the law. Farmers. Who ever said there was a dumb farmer? Never really worked on a farm, did they? Farmers attend continuing education all the time about the newest weed control and the best methods of managing their pastures and their livestock. The latest equipment. Talk about some complicated equipment. You got to be a scientist now to be a farmer. All of these things we can fit under the heading of continuing education. We've got to be continually growing in our knowledge in our chosen field and even in our spiritual life. I have a really poignant example of this. Several years ago, I went to my doctor to have an annual physical. One of the blessings of the Presbyterian health system that our Board of Pensions manages is that they require each pastor to go yearly and have a yearly checkup. That has saved my life more than once. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gone to the doctor. I'm not that kind. I just don't go to the doctor. But it made me go once a year, and they discovered some things that literally saved my life. But several years ago, I went to my doctor for one of these annual physicals, and he began to complain that morning about the amount of extra work he was doing because his partner was away at a continuing education program. Now, I asked the doctor, "When are you going to be taking your time off for your continuing education?" He said, "Oh, he didn't attend those programs anymore because the practice had grown so busy that he didn't feel that he could leave the office for that long." As I went home that day, I thought, I might not need to go to another doctor. I like my doctor pretty well, but you know, if it came to a crisis, you want somebody who's really up on the latest techniques, right? The latest diagnoses, the latest care. I don't want somebody doing 1950s style medicine on me in the year 2000, right? Continuing education is important. It's important in our faith. That's what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is explaining to the disciples that when he ascends to the Father, he will send a helper, an advocate, a continuing education instructor. And this instructor will guide them into all of the truth. I can't tell you how many Christians have conveyed to me the idea that, oh, I've read the Bible, I know all there is, I know the doctrines, I know everything, and I'm thinking to myself, you're stuck. You're missing one of the most wonderful things about faith in God and Jesus Christ. We grow, and that growth is an exciting thing that happens. And the Holy Spirit, this helper that Jesus promised, is the teacher who will help us get there. He takes the teachings of Christ, as Christ said, he'll take my things and give them to you. Things that perhaps you're not ready at one particular time. Remember, early on in the scripture lesson, Jesus said to his disciples, you're not ready for some of this stuff. Some of the stuff that I need to teach you, you're just not ready to handle it yet. So the Spirit will be with you, and the Spirit, when time is right, will open your mind and your eyes to new realities and new truths. The Holy Spirit is indeed our continuing education instructor. Remember, he said, you have many more things to say to you, but I have many more things to say to you, but when he, the Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all truth. There are those who will come along and say, well, there's hidden truths behind the Bible. Every once in a while, there's one of those sensational books that comes out that, you know, they take every third chapter and the 15th word on the third paragraph, and they say, well, you know, if you put all these together, it gives us a secret message. The only secret message that's been revealed over and over again is that God loves us in Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he sent his own Son. Now, why is it that Jesus said the disciples won't be ready? Why is it that he says that we might not be ready for certain teachings at a certain period in our lives? The truth is that there are some issues and doctrines of faith that you can't really fully understand or appreciate until you're actually involved in ministry. There's a reason why the certification process for interim ministers requires that a minister first take a one-week course in the basics of interim ministry. Then, after 1 year of actually working as an interim minister, they take another full-week course before being fully certified, before being ordained in the Presbyterian Church. Pastors have to go through extensive amount of learning, but then they still have to do an interim or a student pastoring. Usually that's 6 months or a year. And then they have to do a CPE program, which is clinical pastoral education, that puts them in a hospital setting. It's all part of getting the person certified and ready for the work that they're going to do. So does that end? Of course not. You have to keep growing. Jesus has many more things to say to each and every one of us, but we cannot bear them until we've stepped out on our faith and begun to work on behalf of the kingdom. It's there when you're doing the hands-on ministry of Jesus Christ that you experience the power in the teaching of the Holy Spirit. This is something I tell people over and over again. You want to know the power of God? You want to know the Holy Spirit in an intimate way? Then get to work. Do something on behalf of God's kingdom. The Holy Spirit's not going to waste his time on somebody whose mind is fixed on material things or how to do any number of the other things that we get caught up in. The Holy Spirit is interested in the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, when I teach the work of the Holy Spirit within the church, and I've held some different workshops at times in the years, and I've attempted to explain that the Holy Spirit gives us each gifts of ministry and works with us to maximize our effectiveness in Christ's work. I look out into the people gathered, and I usually find blank stares. What? I have to do something in order for the Holy Spirit to be activated? No, you have the Holy Spirit. But you got to give the Spirit something to work with. I was troubled by this reaction, and I began to question my own teaching abilities. When suddenly the Spirit revealed to me that I am involved in full-time ministry, that I know the Holy Spirit because the Spirit is always there working with me, correcting me, and empowering me to do stuff that I never could. I've told a few of you the story of my becoming a preacher. When I went to seminary, I had no intentions of being a preacher or being the pastor of a church. I wanted to be a chaplain, hopefully working in hospitals or healing places. I had a heart for helping people, but I was a very shy and backward young man. So I went to seminary because I felt God's call, and God made it abundantly clear that that's where I needed to be. So I went there, and things went just the way I had planned. I was getting ready to be a chaplain. I even lined up my first CPE experience was going to be at Eastern State Hospital here in Virginia, and I was going to prepare myself for chaplaincy until I got to preaching class. Now, I want to tell you, the first time that I stood up in preaching class to preach my first sermon, I stuttered. I shook like a leaf. I had to hold on to the podium to keep from, actually showing how nervous I was. And I really botched it. I did a terrible, terrible sermon. And at that time, she became a dear friend later, Elizabeth Ochtemeyer was a visiting professor at Union Seminary in preaching. And she waited till all the students, the other students left the room, and she said, Glenn, I want to talk to you. And I thought, oh, well, here it goes. You're going to get an F in this class. But I didn't expect to do well in preaching anyway, so I was ready to write that off. She took me aside, and she's a little tiny lady. She's about maybe 5 feet tall at most, probably weighed 90 pounds soaking wet. But she had a fierceness and a power within her that you didn't want to mess with Elizabeth Ochtemeyer. She took her finger and she put it in my face and she said, "How dare you? How dare you take the word of God and treat it as if it was something that was yours to give? How dare you mess with this process that God has called you to portray and to tell God's good news of the gospel?" She said, "There was absolutely no good news in what you preached today. What we saw was a nervous kid." She said, "Get your act together before the next class." That sort of put the fear of God into me. You know, I thought, well, I got to do something. But then she did added this to the end, and it was the best possible thing. She says, you know, you're thinking you have to do it all by yourself. And if you try to do it all by yourself, you're going to be a mess. She said, what I want you to do is I want you to pray before you write your sermon and pray very earnestly for God's Spirit to help you. Then pray again before you step into the pulpit and ask for the Spirit to empower you. I want you to know that just those two little prayers changed my life. They moved me from being a possibly mediocre chaplain into being, you know, hopefully a more or less decent preacher. And I was just blown away by this little lady, but it opened a door for the Holy Spirit to take over, where I was short on energy, I was short on confidence, I was short on everything. The Holy Spirit took over and said, hey, we got to get this job done, and we got to do it well. Because people don't come to church to listen to a fuddling, you know, bundle of nerves. They come to hear the Word of God. So that's what turned me into a preacher. And it's nothing more than the power of the Holy Spirit. It didn't change me. I'm still the same person. I'm still rather shy. Yet, when I get into the pulpit, I've prayed myself up. I've said, Holy Spirit, it's not me, it's you. Come on, let's see what we can, you know, what good news we can spread today. And so if you want to experience the power of the Holy Spirit, get into your continuing education mode, then start doing the work that Christ called you to do. Witness to the gospel. Tell the good news. Now, if you're not very good at it, you know, pray about it. Particularly if you're going to talk to somebody who needs to hear the Word of God, but, you know, you don't feel up to it, just pray about it. And you'll be amazed how things will fall into place. And maybe telling the good news is not your thing, but ministering to the poor and needy might be more of your thing. Then pray about that. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Now, I used to go to the church every day and pray, Lord, if there's somebody out there who needs something today, who needs me in any way, bring them across my path or bring them to my mind, and I will follow through. You'd be amazed how many times that happens. Someone's name or will come to my mind, and I'll say, well, I've got to call that person. And I'll call them out of the blue just to find out what's going on. And that's the Holy Spirit. When you visit the sick, be sure to be quiet with them for a little while and let them tell you what's going on. And then pray with them so the Holy Spirit can apply the need that they might have. The elderly, the same thing. Go and listen and then pray that the Spirit will help them. Those in prison, if you want a rewarding ministry, go to the jail. I'm telling you, I was shocked the first time I ever went to a jail. There are people there who are really down on their luck. They've blown it in every possible way, and they need to hear that somebody cares, that Almighty God loves them. And the Holy Spirit will come and give you the words. There are myriad things that we can be called to do, to feed the hungry, to teach Sunday school, to do any work within the building of the kingdom of God. And we can experience the incredible power of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of them. And I encourage you to do that continuing education. Come to Sunday school. We've got a dynamic Sunday school class going on here for adults. Hopefully we can start expanding and get some more children's Sunday school going again. Because that's where you grow. And you share these stories. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit gave me the name of Joe Smith. I went by to see Joe, and lo and behold, you know, he was down in the dumps because he's having all the kinds of problems. And I sat down and prayed with Joe, and the next thing you know, his spirits were lifted visibly, and I felt like I was doing the work of God. That's when you experience the Holy Spirit. In some churches, there's no one in the pews who had any of that kind of experience. Now, I know there's some folks out here in these pews who have. Unfortunately, there's a tendency in our society today to leave everything, all the ministry, to the clergy. Well, that's the churches that are dying, I'll guarantee you. That's the churches that are dying if you leave it all to the clergy. Because a lot of us have big shoulders, and yes, we can pray, and we can come, the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us, but we're still just one. If all of us are in the power of the Holy Spirit, imagine what we can get done. If you don't have that experience of the Holy Spirit, you really don't know what you're missing. I encourage you to take on something that you feel called to do, pray about it, and go for it, and the Holy Spirit will supply the rest. To God be the glory. Amen. Join me in a word of prayer. Almighty God, thank you. Thank you for the message this morning. Thank you for the assurance that the Holy Spirit is there waiting to work with us, to show us those wonderful things that Christ said that we weren't quite ready for yet. Make us ready, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, prompt us to acts and hearts of ministry so that we might experience even more so the love of God as we spread it and share it and grow in it ourselves. We give you thanks and praise and glory and honor through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.